Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parson, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome the many listeners we have throughout the world, and also to welcome the four talented, exciting, exuberant, and iridescently attractive players of the game that we have on the show this week. We welcome back two young, distinguished performers, a very witty young man who's very clever on the stage, that is Kit Hester's hobby, a very talented stand-up comedian, Tony Hawks, a very lovable, humorous man, Peter Jones, and a very formidable and witty and erudite creature, that is Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to ask them to speak for just a minute, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who is going to help me keep a score and blow her whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the handsome Theatre Royal in the heart of that fine city of Norwich. And we have a truly enthusiastic Norfolk audience in front of us to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Tony Hawks. And Tony, what an apt subject. Milking laughs. 60 seconds, starting now.
What's the fastest animal in the world? A snail, if you throw it hard enough. Or put it on a high-speed train. Perhaps pop it in a space shuttle. That's an example, or at least an attempt, at milking a laugh. I had one at the beginning, and I tried to carry on with two further additions to that fantastic gag. The fact that I failed abysmally doesn't matter. The point is, I was attempting to milk a laugh, which is the subject I have been given, and I'm so thrilled to be talking about it, because it's something I have always wanted to do as a comedian. To milk a laugh means that you don't need as much material. In this situation, all I need is 1 minute, and I would be thrilled if I could do that. But that won't necessarily happen.
Peter Jones, you pressed your buzzer. There was no noise, but your light has come on in front of me. What is your challenge? Your light came on. You have a challenge. What is your challenge? Hesitation, repetition, or deviation? You've only been playing the game for 33 years. I don't know.
Yes, well, I think there's something wrong with the mechanism.
Peter, I don't think you have a legitimate challenge. You mind me saying so? No, you don't mind. All right. So, that was an incorrect challenge.
Yes.
And so, Tony, that means you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. You have 16 seconds. Milking laughs starting now.
A laugh is also a make or breed of cow in Scandinavia. And they go around milking these laughs all morning, sometimes well into the afternoon. And frankly, it's a tribute to these people that they do it because the teats are very short.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it's Tony Hawks, who started with a subject and finished with a subject, and you won't be surprised to hear that he's the only one who's got any points at the end of that round. So, Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject is Esperanto. Tell us something about that interesting subject in this game, starting now.
Tito de Hegera, Mutalea. This is the way in which our Esperanto society has always addressed their audiences. It means, in English, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I won't repeat it because I shall be... But it's a pretty embarrassing sort of language to know because it's very difficult to find somebody else who speaks it. But we in the small clubs that are flourishing all over the country in a very minor way, we do rather like it, because it was invented by some pathetic man who couldn't think of anything better to do with his time than invent this Esperanto. Did I say invent before?
Obviously. Tony, Paul, you've challenged.
Yes, I think repetition of invent, I think.
Yes, you drew his attention to it, Peter, and he challenged immediately. And you went for 57 seconds. There you are. You've got the audience with you, but you've lost the subject. I'm so sorry. Because that was a correct challenge, so I had to be fair with the rules in just a minute and say, Tony Hawks, you have the correct challenge. Another point to you, and the subject Esperanto, 3 seconds, starting now.
There is no word for swing bin in Esperanto.
So at the end of that round, Tony Hawks has got all the points still.
This one has got 4 points. Clement Floyd, will you take the next round? The subject, why Norfolk is so flat. You tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Norfolk is so flat because there are no great elevations, which is...
This is a terrible, terrible indictment of Norfolk. Anyone who's tried to climb up the Castle Hill is absolutely saddened by it. It's a vertiginous apartment. Yes, but on the other hand, Kit, lovely to hear from you, by the way, but the thing is that he's giving his interpretation of why he considers Norfolk is so flat. You'll keep the subject, Clement, 55 seconds on why Norfolk is so flat, starting now.
Which is...
And Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
Very slow off the mark. Yes, but not as slow enough to be hesitation, Peter. No. Good try. I'm glad you're fighting for it there, Peter. Clement, another point to you, and why Norfolk is so flat. 54 seconds, starting now.
Which is why it is such a good place for growing bananas and tropical fruit. You will all know that Norfolk is an island some 900 miles west of Sydney, which is the headquarters of the Melanese people, of whom I think Jonah Lomu's family was...
There was a hesitation. It was so interesting and so clever to take it over to that little island in the Pacific there. So, Kit, you've got in. Correct challenge. A point to you. 33 seconds. You tell us something about why Norfolk is so flat, starting now.
It was Noel Coward, who came from Twickenham, God help him, which is like a plateau, who said this in the first place in his play, Private Lives. Norfolk goes up and down all over the place. It's Cambridgeshire that is flat, and Lincolnshire, which were drained by dikes. And Dutchmen in the 1680s, they are dreary beyond description. But here in Peter Jones' challenge,
he's talking about different counties altogether.
Yeah, but he was comparing them to Norfolk, Peter, and saying, and the audience enjoyed that because they realised that he was defending Norfolk. And...
We're not here for them to enjoy it.
Give Peter a bonus point. So he deserves it. The audience loved it. But he was comparing it to Norfolk, and I got that impression very, very strongly. So you have 10 seconds with another point, of course, Kit. Why Norfolk is so flat, starting now.
There's a little bit of Thetford Forest, Centre Park, the most marvellous holiday, which is flat. You can bicycle around in an eco-friendly situation and not stretch your sinews.
Same as for a challenge.
Advertising.
Absolutely. He's got a
Centre
Park sweatshirt on as well.
Well, advertising is not one of the rules of Just a Minute. So you have half a second.
Deviations are not advertising.
Half a second. Tell us more about why Norfolk is so flat, Kit, starting now.
The cliffs at Sheringham.
I think the way Kit Heskett Harvey was going on about Norfolk, then if I'd given it against him, I'd have been lynched by this audience, actually. At the end of that round, Kit is now in second place behind Tony Hawks. Kit, will you begin the next round? The subject, spare parts. Tell us something about spare parts in just a minute, starting now.
With a chronic shortage in the NHS of spare parts for organ transplants, I'm happy tonight to announce that I'm opening Nicholas Parsons up and distributing his giblets among the audience tonight. His teeth are heavily reconditioned, I grant you, but would grace the mouth of any 19-year-old. His brain is tiny but barely used. Most importantly, there is his nose! Who would not be happy to walk through the Madam Market strutting proudly saying, I have the Parson's nose?
I'll forgive you for all the rest for the last gag you did. Just got in. But Tony Hawk's challenge you before the Parson's nose.
Yes. Well, he said, who would not be happy? And me, frankly.
So what is your challenge?
I'm a bit late.
I'd love to give it against Kit after things he said.
Oh, right. I haven't got a challenge.
No, right. you just enjoy coming in, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very good thing. We didn't get a huge reaction, so I can't give you a bonus point. So, Kit, you've still got the subject, and you've got 38 seconds and another point, of course. Spare parts starting now.
I've lately been having the most awful trouble with my big end.
Tony, you challenge first.
I have got a challenge this time.
Yes,
yes, I think the thought of his big end and the trouble he had with it made him lost for words and he hesitated.
Absolutely. He collapsed. He collapsed with giggles. So, Tony, correct challenge, a point to you, and 32 seconds. You tell us something about spare parts, starting now.
It's very difficult to work out whether your parts are actually spare or not. I've got mine here with me tonight, and I'm not really using them. But are they spare?
Maybe I'll find out if I go out in Norwich this evening to Chicago and find a suitable use for them. Because they are, frankly, redundant, as I sit here. I want to use my parts in a more...
You're using your spare parts too much.
9 seconds available. Kit Hesketh Hardy, spare parts, starting now.
There's a funny little coup de sac in my intestinal tract. My appendix. Oh, bother.
You got in first.
Yes.
Yes, he hesitated.
Well, he stumbled, which we call hesitation, Peter. So you got it.
All right, he stumbled.
2 seconds. You tell us something about spare parts, starting now.
It's very difficult to get them.
So Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went down. The extra point for doing so. He's in second place behind Kit Hesketh Hardy and Tony Hawks are equal leaders. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject... a peculiar practice. Now, tell us something about a peculiar practice, starting now.
Well, it would be, if you can imagine, a doctor collecting as many spare parts as he possibly can, paying for them very often, and then keeping them in a fridge until he hopes the price may rise. And there are doctors who are unscrupulous enough, I'm sure, to do this, depriving people who need them, like Tony Hawk, Burman, they don't ever seem to be able to get them because they can't collect enough money to subscribe to this doctor's income.
Kid Hesketh Hardy, your challenge.
Well, he stops, really.
Yes, yes, I think it was more than a pause. It was a full stop.
Knowing when to stop is one of the great secrets of entertainment.
I know.
But, well, good night all.
But it is disastrous in just a minute. So, Kit, you had a correct challenge, and there are 22 seconds available. A peculiar practice starting now.
It's a little-known fact about the Australian composer Percy Grainger that he was a sadomasochistic flagellant. So when you hear...
Clement Boyd's challenge, and Peter challenge after it. Clement, you're the challenge.
I think we all knew that.
So what is your challenge when the rules are just a minute, Clement?
Deviation.
Oh, yes. Clement, you have a peculiar practice, 13 seconds, starting now.
The Spanish have this very peculiar practice of calling people portillo and getting English women to marry their men and bring them in to infiltrate our parliament.
Clement Freud speaking as the whistle went game, that extra point for doing so, and he's moved forward. He's now in second place behind Kit Hesketh Hardy, our leader. Clement, it's your turn to begin on the subject, if I was king for a day, tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
If I was king for a day, straight after breakfast, I would summon my Privy Council and tell them to pass an edict whereby I remain king for the rest of my life. I would then settle back and bring in that splendid concept of nepotism rules okay. There are in my family a huge number of tremendously useful secretaries of state, ministers, heads of quangos, and chairmen of public companies in whom I, as king for the day, in fact, longer, would be able to influence if I needed.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think he was stumbling there, and that's what I call
stumbling. Compared to whom?
I would say hesitation from the normal pace at which you go, Clement. You were getting slower and slower and slower until I think that was a legitimate hesitation. So, Peter, you have 18 seconds. You tell us something about if I was king for a day, starting now.
Well, I should look around and ask friends if they knew anybody like Mrs. Simpson. And if they did, I would probably invite her to join me on the throne, which would be, of course, against the law. But nevertheless, it would be rather nice to have a companion.
So, Peter Jones speaking as the whistle went down, that extra point is moved forward. He's equal in third place to Tony Hawks, 1 point behind Clement Freud, and he's 1 point behind Kit Hesketh Hardy, our leader at this moment. And Kit, it's your turn to begin with a subject, a very apt subject for Norwich, mustard. Tell us something about mustard, starting now.
As no doubt you stand bedazzled by the architectural beauties of this fine city, it is interesting to note that they were all paid for by mustard in the most part. Colemans of Norwich, Lord Lieutenant of this county, benefactors of the art gallery in the Castle Museum and builders of the hospital. What a lovely subject is mustard. It goes terribly well with pork if you put garlic and cream on it. Somebody say something.
There was an there.
There was, a hesitation.
Yes.
Right. So, Peter, you tell us something about mustard. And 33 seconds available, starting now.
There are some fish that will be improved with the addition of a little mustard smeared round the top to bottom.
And camouflage challenge.
Hesitation, yes.
Top to bottom. And I... Cameron, 26 seconds available. Mustard, starting now.
When I, as a child in East Anglia, saw a field which was yellow, I knew that it was mustard. And I kept thinking it was mustard, although now every piece of land was that colour.
Charlie Hawke's challenge, sir.
I think there was a slight hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. 14 seconds. You tell us something about mustard, Tony, starting now.
If I was king for a day, I'd have lots.
Cameron's boy challenge.
Deviation from the subject.
No, he hasn't got going yet. He might have said he'd have mustard every single day. And
that's probably exactly what I was going to say.
He hadn't really got established, so that was an incorrect challenge. 11 seconds for you still, Tony, on mustard starting now.
I'd have mustard every single day.
Cameron's boy challenge.
Repetition, you've just said that.
Give Clement a bonus point. We enjoyed the challenge, but Tony was interrupted. He gets a point, and he continues with mustard, and 9 seconds starting now.
It is, in fact, my favourite colour. I've got it on the walls of my kitchen at home. It would have been cheaper to have bought paint and put that up there. I smeared it on, the place smells, nobody comes.
So, Tony Hawk speaking as a whistle wing. Gain the extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud and Peter. Your turn to begin. The subject, the do's and don'ts of radio. You have 60 seconds as usual. Starting now.
Well, I guess I wish I knew. I've never been awfully good at talking on the radio because I'm apt to hesitate, deviate, or whatever else I can do to make it more difficult and easier for the other people who are in the game. Don't ever insult the game.
Tony Hawk's your challenge.
I think he's lost the will to live.
I think he lost something, I must say. But Tony, correct challenge, hesitation. 33 seconds available. The do's and don'ts of radio starting now.
Do talk nice and clearly like I am doing at the moment. Don't mumble incomprehensibly like that. So no, you really don't say it, can't you?
A terrified challenge.
Referees and mumble.
That's correct. He went, and that was a repetition. Oh. So, it's been just a moment.
I want it written out, or I'm not going to accept it.
Clement, I'll give you a correct challenge in 23 seconds. The do's and don'ts of radio starting now.
I found that one of the do's on radio, if you are a performer, is to bring your mobile telephone. It makes such a huge difference. In the middle of having a conversation, being on a program, whatever, somebody rings up and gives you an important message, and you let it ring for quite a long time.
Tony,
repetition of ring.
Yes, there was a repetition of ring. So, Tony, you needn't worry. You lost the subject, or you got in with only 3 seconds ago, having gained another point, and the subject is do's and don'ts of radio starting now.
You really don't want doggy do's on radio. They are a distinct...
So, Tony Hawk's gained points in the round, and also one for speaking as a whistle when gained, has moved forward, and he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, powwow. That is the subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
It sounds like an email address, and is one of the very few words that has 3 W's in it. It is actually a North American Indian chieftain, and in its verbal form, a sort of chat between such a powwow and his people. Powwow is some conversation of...
Kit has decided. There was a hesitation, mishesitation, yes. 38 seconds, Kit. You tell us something about powwow, starting now.
You shall hear how Hiawatha called the elders of his village Minnehaha, Laughing Water, Nobbly Meat.
Time for a challenge.
Laughing Meat.
Yes.
Repetition of ha.
I'm not sure it wasn't hyphenated, is it?
No, it's all one word. It's her name. Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. Yeah, but we work in the...
We might as well say pow-wow is repetition.
No, that's two different words. Pow and begins with wow.
The ow is repeated.
No, we are working in the realm of sound, and that is correct, and it's a clever challenge. So, Clement, I must give it to you. Repetition of ha, 31 seconds, pow-wow, starting now.
Pow-wow has entered our language these days as the sort of chat between politicians, farmers, doctors...
Challenge.
We had chat before, didn't we?
Chats.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Clement, another point. 24 seconds, powwow, starting now.
Will you come to my house after school for a powwow? I used to say to my friends many years ago. I have very few now. And some arrived, and we sat down and powwowed until the cows came home. We lived on a farm.
Repetition of owl. There was an owl in cow and an owl in owl.
No, the only if the word... It's very clever of you, actually, to try and get back on his... hoist him on that particular petard, whatever it is. I'll give you a bonus point, because it was a very clever thought, but it wasn't correct within the rules of just a minute. So Clement has another point, and has powwow still 9 seconds starting now.
I think that was actually one of the cleverest challenges that has not been taken...
So what was your challenge?
I think deviation. I think he'd clearly run out of things to say about Powell and was just talking about whether he was going to get challenged or not. And I think he was filling in, and I didn't want to see it happen.
I think he did deviate. He suddenly spoke to me, which was deviation from Powell. And anyway, he's got so many points in that round. You've got another one. You've got 3 seconds on Powell, Tony, starting now.
I once said to a slightly deaf business partner of mine, buy a Powell.
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud is in a strong lead. No, he's not as strong. He's in a lead, just ahead of Tony Hawkes, and then Kit Hesketh, Harvey and Peter Jones in that order. And there's still some points to be won. We have one more round. Kit Hesketh, Harvey's going to begin it because it's his turn, and the subject is The Journey Home. How apt for the final round? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Well, as soon as this powwow is over, I shall head down the A47 through Dereham and Thetford Forest to Centre Parks, where I shall go round and round.
I think they were clapping the local allusions you were giving rather than the fact that you made a mistake and said round and round. Clement got in first, so Clement, you have a repetition of 45 seconds. Tell us something about the journey home starting now.
I shall go to Norwich Station and take an Anglia railway train via Stowmarket and Ipswich, Manningtree, Colchester, Chelmsford, Brentwood, Liverpool Street, where a taxi will await me to take me to York House in Upper Montague, where I reside. This is in the City of London. The postal...
Kit Hesketh Harvey Challenge.
Is this in the City of London?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was near Wimpole Street.
You're having a little private conversation, the two of you sitting side by side, so we have to accept. So are you challenging, Kit?
I'm sorry, I thought it was deviation, but it's obviously not. Upper Montague is in the City of London.
Tony Hawk Challenge.
What number? I want you to put the kettle on. I'm coming round for a cup of tea.
So, Clement, you have another point. 17 seconds. The journey home starting now.
The postal code is W1H.
Peter Jones' challenge.
That's not about the journey home. It's about the destination.
Now, that is... That ringing applause endorses your correctness of your challenge, Peter. So, you've got in with 12 seconds. You tell us something about your journey home, or actually the subject is The Journey Home, starting now.
Well, it can be the very best part of the evening. According to how you play your cards. Now, it can cause trouble, of course.
So, Peter Jones, for that last flourish, brought that round to an end, and also he brought the show to an end. Got an extra point for doing so, but alas, he finished up in fourth place. But he's only just behind Kit Hesketh Harvey, who was only just a point or two behind Tony Hawkes. But a few points out in the lead was Clement Freud. So, Clement, we say, you are the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four individual and talented players of the game, Tony Hawkes, Peter Jones, Kit Hesketh Harvey, and Clement Freud.
I also thank Janet Staplehurst for having helped me with the score, and also Chris Neal, our producer and director, who helps to try and keep us in order, and also the creator of the game. We thank him immensely, that is, Ian Messiter, and also we thank this lovely audience here in Norwich who've come from different parts of Norfolk to egg us on our way. We hope you've enjoyed it. From me, Nicholas Parsons, from our players, from our audience, goodbye. Tune in next time you play the game. Bye.